Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. We have continued with our panel, Brenton Mock from Color Lines, a New Orleans-based journalist, Lynn McAllister, joining us, a national commentator, Republican activist, E.R. Shipp, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, now teaching here at Morgan State University, and Ari Berman, who writes on voting rights and many other things for The Nation, a contributing writer and investigative journalism fellow with The Nation Institute. So the question of voting rights really pops up in a very strong way here because of, well, the most recent thing is North Carolina's announcement. In the Republican-dominated legislatures of North Carolina and Republican-dominated legislatures from around the country, and again, I could be setting this up as Republican versus Democrat, but I think it's beyond that as well. But the reality is these were Republican-dominated legislatures around the country that are limiting the ability of people to vote by either taking away same-day registration, taking away early registration for 16-year-olds, asking for IDs, in some cases in some states, asking now for proof of citizenship, Ari Berman. And it's this is moving ahead, Ari Berman, with some intensity around the country.
And I think rightly described the law as a Frankenstein monster, taking every bad election provision from all these different states, whether it's Florida or Ohio or Pennsylvania, and putting it into one really, really extreme bill, the most extreme bill that we've seen in a very long time in voting. Rick Hasen of Election Law Blog says it's the worst voting law he's seen since the passage of the Voting Rights Act in 1965. And there's been a lot of bad laws passed since then, so that's really saying a lot. Basically, what the bill does is it repeals everything in the state that made it easier to vote, whether it's extended early voting, same-day registration, pre-registration of 16 and 17-year-olds, and it adds all these provisions that makes it a whole lot more difficult to vote. For example, getting rid of student IDs as part of the voter ID requirement. There's just, for example, news breaking today that out in Boone, North Carolina, in the mountains, they have decided to close an early voting location at Appalachian State University. They've also prohibited a student running from a historically black college for running for office, saying he's not a resident of the county, even though he's gone to school there since 2009. So I think we're really starting to see what's going on here. Basically, Republicans in the state have decided that the fastest growing elements of the electorate, which are minority voters and young voters in that state, shouldn't be able to participate in the political process at the same rate as everyone else. And so they've basically fashion this bill in a way that obviously discriminates against African Americans. There's so much disproportionate impact in terms of, if you look at who doesn't have ID, who used same-day registration, who used early voting, who's going to be challenged by all these new poll watchers that the bill authorizes. And it's obviously also targeted at young people because there's just no reason to not include student IDs in a voter ID law. There's no reason to close an early voting site on a college campus that was used so much in 2008 and 2012. I think this is just a really transparent power grab by North Carolina Republicans. I don't think it can be described as anything else.
So before we have to go to a news break, which I'm sorry we have to jump in the middle of this, but I'd like to get you all to jump in on what you heard Ari was talking about. Brenton, you want to kind of close out the last couple minutes here?
It's definitely a power grab. When you look at the electorate in North Carolina, 2.8 million registered Democrats, 2 million registered Republicans, 1.7 million registered as unaffiliated. That's basically a third, a third, a third, with the favored numbers going towards the Democrats. And yet you don't see that kind of representation in the General Assembly or even among its congressional, its members in Congress. And that's mainly because of gerrymandering, redistricting, and these other kinds of restrictive voter ID laws that North Carolina has passed that heavily favors Republicans and keeps them in seats of power while keeping all other voters vote. And remember, and there's libertarians who are also have come out strongly against this voter ID law. So it's not a lefty thing. It's not a Democrat thing. This is just purely Republicans going for the power grab, as my colleague Ari Berman said.
Well, so let we come back. We'll let Lenny McAllister jump right in and go to Shipp as well. 410-319-8888. Go to your calls on voting rights and the future of America. Stay with us. We're going to go to a news break and come right back to the conversation. Oh. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and welcome back to our National News Roundtable with Ari Berman, contributing writer for The Nation magazine, investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute, E.R. Schipp, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, now journalist in residence and associate professor of journalism here at Morgan State University's new Global School of Journalism that opens officially next week. Lenny McAllister joins us, conservative media personality, public speaker, writer, served in North Carolina's Republican Executive Committee and vice chair of the Republican 12th District Campaign Committee. Brenton Mock is New Orleans-based journalist and reporter for Color Lines, and you are the listeners and commentators at 410-319-8888. We will get to your calls, but Lenny, let me let you respond to what you just heard about voting rights before we move on.
I've had conversations with several high-ranking officials in North Carolina. I had been down there for 10 years up through 2010 before I moved to Chicago, and I told one of them to prepare to pack that they were not going to be in Raleigh very long because this was an overgrab. Unfortunately, it's not just a partisan overgrab, but if you look at what they have done, they have literally pushed out all the black Republican leadership that they had in the state. You had Pearl Burris Floyd, who was the first African-American Republican woman to ever serve in a General Assembly. They primaried her out in 2010 during the Tea Party movement because she voted for an anti-smoking bill as a cancer specialist of over 30 years. You had Tim Johnson, who was the vice chair of the North Carolina Republican Party and the founder of the Frederick Douglass Foundation that now has multiple chapters across the United States, that was pushed out of leadership. And when their chairman resigned, they did not want him to get the post that they automatically, after 2010, gave a salary to, so they wanted to keep that away from him. There are other examples of black Republicans that they pushed out. So this doesn't just look like a partisan move. It looks like a racial move. And although there are some parts of this bill that make sense, getting rid of, for example, straight ticket voting is something that they actually proposed in Congress earlier this year. That I can understand. I can understand you not being able to walk in with two utility bills and no other proof of living in the state or being eligible to vote as a resident of the United States or citizen of the United States and being able to vote same-day registration. But those are two pieces of a very bad bill. When you're not allowing 16- and 17-year-olds to pre-register anymore, that's a problem. When you are putting other impositions into place for people to vote, that's a problem. There's a common-sense way to ensure the vote. And I think that there are instances where we have to do that. Again, when you're able to walk in with two utility bills and no other proof of citizenship and you can vote, I think that's a problem. I also think it's a problem when somebody comes in with a state-issued college ID and you say that they can't vote. That's a problem as well. And unfortunately, it's another misstep by Republicans trying to overcompensate for what they have gone through in many of these General Assemblies for years, and it's only going to reverse what happened just a couple of years ago. And we're never going to get the balance we need with both sides of the aisle doing these type of tactics. The Democrats did these type of things in North Carolina for decades, and now the Republicans, rather than ruling with a sense of balance, are ruling with a sense of revenge.
Let me bring you into this, and I have to ask you a kind of an aside here very quickly, Lenny. So are you part of the great black Republican migration north? Couldn't resist that. I'm sorry.
It would sound that way. For me, I came here for a radio show and came here to help the South Side here in Chicago.
Well, I know you well. I was just tongue-in-cheek. I couldn't resist.
I know you couldn't resist, but if you do look at the numbers, it does look that way. So, and again, if you look at who's running the Republican Party right now, it's Lily White. If you look at what happened at the 2012 convention, Lily White. If you look at what happened in the 2008 convention, it's Lily White. And even the black Republicans you hear from on the national scale do not speak to black issues. And the ones that do have been gently and sometimes forcefully removed from the positions of power that they did have.
So why are they still in the Republican Party? They should declare themselves to be something else, even if they don't want to say they're Democrats. It's kind of ridiculous that they would still identify in any way with the North Carolina Republican Party, which is doing more harm in the long run when you look at it. So many people are so annoyed at what's going on that even if they were not inclined to be a Democratic voter, they might do so in the future. I don't understand why in the 21st century you're trying to find ways to keep people from the ballot box. It should be so easy. You should be able to use email to vote. as long as there's some way to know that you're the one doing the voting. It
and
should not be.
You can't verify the vote.
You could come up with some kind of safe system. And if it's not email, my point is we have technology now that should make it easier for people to vote rather than coming up with newfangled versions of the old rules that were in place prior to the Voting Rights Act.
And on the way to the phones here, Chris is the first caller. We're going to get to his call right here. I mean, I think that Ari, I think one of the really important pieces here to look at, this is not just happening in the South, North Carolina. This is happening in Wisconsin. This is happening in Pennsylvania. It's happening across the nation.
Well, absolutely. And really, that was a reason to go back, look at the Voting Rights Act, and expand it. Instead, the Supreme Court did the exact opposite. They said that the Voting Rights Act, to exist, at least in its current form, must be narrowed. That for states to have to clear their voting changes with the federal government, there has to be a more narrow set of criteria to try to cover those states based on current data. And really, that argument that was made by Chief Justice Roberts, as you mentioned, it ignored the spread of racially discriminatory voting measures to places like Ohio, to Pennsylvania. So,
Jim Crow, it's
just spread north. I mean, that's the sad fact of voting right now.
But he left open the possibility, Chief Justice Roberts, of Congress actually taking a look at what's going on. And if Congress has the guts to do so, it can come up with a new formula for policing voting rights across the country, not just in the South.
That's absolutely true, but it's just hard to see how that would be a more effective and broader formula than the formula that existed before that decision.
Well, I think that when you allow, I mean, Leader Cantor actually spoke to this. I wrote about this after the rulings of the VRA in June, and Eric Cantor said that he wanted to be on the vanguard of this. And what I wrote was the Republican Party should take the lead in this to show that, okay, we want voter verification, we don't want voter suppression. Right now, every single move that Republicans have made with voter ID laws has been about voter suppression, not voter verification. And there's an opportunity to go towards the voter validation, voter verification pathway if we write smart laws. Now, back to, I want to address one quick thing, if I may, please. I think that black Republicans in the party, I know that somebody said that I don't see why somebody would identify it. Well, if you have a mansion, and there are two mansions when it comes to political parties in the United States, if one's burning down because of neglect, you don't just run out of the building. If that is your house and that is your home, and you know that it works best on your street to have both of those mansions there working in a functional fashion, you save what's there. I think that unfortunately too many black Republicans do not stand up to this. They're not willing to speak out when they see something wrong within the party. Even when there's attempts to ostracize them, you still have to speak out. I'm sitting here at Rainbow Push right now on the south side of Chicago looking at 50 years of Jesse Jackson Sr. doing the same exact thing. You got to be able to find inspiration from someplace to save a system that people say is rotten and decayed and can't be salvaged to make it what it's supposed to be for strengthening people.
Let me have time. Brenton, go ahead.
I mean, we know that that's not true. We have a whole history of African Americans who have made that same argument about if the house is burning, you stay in there and try to help put it out and speak out. And I mean, Michael Steele tried that, and they didn't allow him to put the fire out. They just kicked him out the house. You know,
they didn't do that in the American South. People said that about the Jim Crow South. And yet, migrating to the new South. That's not a valid argument. That's a fallacy in your argument.
Let me let Brenton finish his thought, Brenton.
No, I made my point. I'm just making the point that the point he's making is not new, and that there have been African American Republicans who have tried that very thing, and the only thing that happened is like they got kicked out of the House. The Republican Party has a certain agenda, and that agenda is completely impervious to any African American or any other person of color coming in and trying to reform it into something that is more palatable or more serving of African Americans or other people of color in this country.
I mean, let me open the phones here, and I want to kind of throw out this idea before we move on. Is it because this is really about race and politics is part of what we're talking about here in America, and part of what, and Lenny, after get this caller, I'll let you kind of a couple minutes and then come back to other guests. Is that there was this political migration of the racist white wing of the Democratic Party? It became the Republican Party.
And that, after the Voting Rights Act.
After the Voting Rights Act and Nixon's Southern Strategy. We'll come back to that in a moment. 410-319-8888. And not that I'm all enamored of things that Democrats are doing either, by the way. But Chris and Woodlawn, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for holding.
But
welcome.
If I could go back to the drug policies for a second.
No, we're sticking on voting rights right now. I'm sorry. I don't want to get diverted into it. We have to kind of be – I apologize not being able to get you in the last segment, but
– Okay, thanks.
All right. Yeah, I want to kind of stay focused where we are. Let me tackle what just said here about what all this means for the future, because part of this seems to me that Lenny, I'll let you go for a couple of minutes before we jump to somebody else on our panel, maybe go to Ari and around the room, is that this is in many ways about part of the strategy, seems to me, it's to disenfranchise students, poor working people, black folks, certain Latino communities, because of the way many people think they would vote if they voted, and also to repress that. I mean, that clearly is right. Am I? You think that's wrong?
Perhaps that's true. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but I think that when the argument's made that only Republicans do this, it's extremely disingenuous. This is the problem that you have with gerrymandering, and in states such as Illinois,
I agree. I don't disagree with that part.
We saw, for example, the 2nd Congressional District, which I ran for earlier this year, annex rural Kankakee County and rural Will County, knowing that Chicago still has double the population that they have. So basically, you've made two conservative counties a liberal congressional district by drawing it a different way. They did the same thing with the 1st Congressional District, where, they went down into Will County, and they went to Iroquois County, I believe it was, and even though it wasn't Iroquois, it was another further western county in southwest Illinois, where they basically took enough of Chicago to override the wishes of conservative counties further south, as far away as 100 miles. So this is not a Republican phenomenon. This is a dysfunctional phenomenon of politics in modern-day America. That is the problem. Now, with that said, you do see aspects of it for different reasons, one of which we are seeing is, can we disenfranchise a certain population in certain areas, such as Purple State, North Carolina, which was not purple on the congressional or the presidential map until very recently. How can we make purple North Carolina red again? And so you start seeing these policies coming into place. It's a problem of politics. It's not just a problem of racism. In some regards, it is. But overall, this is a political problem that we have to address.
So, Ari, let me let you jump in, and please, let's go around the room here. Ari?
Sure. Well, I think we need to separate the redistricting process from all the efforts to make it harder to vote, because they're really two different issues. And it's true, both parties have been guilty of gerrymandering maps to their own benefit. I think Republicans have done it more recently simply because they had more control as a result of winning the 2010 elections, and their maps were perhaps more egregious, but it was done by both sides. But all the voting changes that we've seen since the 2010 election, where Republicans took over these state legislatures, have been done by the GOP. There's not really an equivalence here. It's been one party that's been making it harder for people to vote, and there's basically two different theories of the political parties right now. The Democrats, by and large, not exclusively, but by and large, believe that if more people vote, it'll help them. The Republicans believe, by and large, that if fewer people vote, it'll help them. And so that's what's really motivating the changes. But then it's going beyond that because, for example, we have evidence in Texas, in the redistricting process at least, and perhaps in the voter ID law too, that these changes were motivated by quote-unquote intentional discrimination. Now, it might be politically motivated intentional discrimination, but intentional discrimination is really just another word for racism. And I think a lot of people are afraid to use that kind of language to describe what's happening right now. But if you look at the facts of the case, you look at who is being targeted, who is being disenfranchised, who is being singled out, time and time again, we're seeing the same constituencies being singled out, and it's hard not to see a pattern here, and it's hard not to blame one party for trying to do it.
We have about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes left in this segment.
Mark, can I please 30 seconds of a rebuttal to that? Because I think that people missed the counter-argument to that. So it's still about winning elections. Now, I do agree that when you're putting laws into place where it has a racial overturn and it's discriminating in that regard, we have to fight back against it. I will never say anything other than that. But here's the flip side to what they're saying with the GOP did. If you have Democrats that run cities that overturn federal policy on immigration and allow these sanctuary cities, such as Charlotte, such as Boston, such as Chicago, You have a large population of undocumented people living here that we don't know if they're eligible to vote. Then you put same-day registration policies into place where people can show up with two utility bills, which you can have a utility bill in your name if you're not a citizen of the United States. And that's enough to vote in an election where you can predict, you can vote for the presidency, you can vote for a governor, you can vote for a congressman. It's the same thing, just done in different ways, and it has to be cleaned up on both sides.
But the reality is...
But bringing it back to North Carolina, because we have to also look at the redistricting law there, where, yeah, those lines were drawn along partisan lines, and yes, the redistricting system itself needs reforming. But when you look at what happened in North Carolina, Republicans definitely exploited and abused their powers there. When the Democrats were in the majority and they drew the lines, there was a 7-6 split among congressional districts. When Republicans used their 2010 census to take over to do redistricting, they turned it into a 9-4, despite the fact that there was still 51% of votes going to Democrats there. And it's not just partisan, it's also racial, because they also packed 85% of the African Americans in that state into about two districts. That was a complete racial and partisan grab, and that's why the redistricting law is also being fought before the court right now.
We're talking about a state that has a congressional district that literally is the width of a highway in some regards, too. So it's dysfunctional both to just blame it on one side and not the other, and not say that both sides have been doing this. Remember, the Democrats have ruled the General Assembly in North Carolina since the 1890s. So you've seen this dysfunction going on for a while. They oversaw Jim Crow South and everything else down there. These are things that have been entrenched for a while, and the Republicans are overreaching to try to deal with the overreach that the Democrats have had in place for quite some time.
I don't think the Democrats, though, went to the extremes of voter suppression that the Republicans...
And wide as a highway. They had a congressional district.
Let me just let Chip finish the thought. Lenny, I understand that in some ways I apologize for the gerrymandering of the show. It seems like 3-1, which is not right. But anyway, Chip.
Now, I was just going to say that the voter suppression efforts of the Republicans in North Carolina are what we really are troubled by, I think. The gerrymandering is a different discussion. But right now, when you look at what the Republicans are proposing, people who are supposedly concerned about the bottom line fiscally are proposing wasting money to eradicate a problem that doesn't really exist. One statistic said that of 4 million people who voted in the presidential election in 2012 in North Carolina, you had about a dozen voter fraud reports. So why would you go out of your way now to spend so much time, effort, and money on going after that small number of potentially fraudulent votes?
So, folks, we're running out of time in this segment, if you can do something in 25 seconds, I'm going to let you do it.
Absolutely, I can. The reason why you go after those people is because, like I said, if you have a law that says if you have two utility bills, you're legally eligible to vote,
okay,
and you don't have to prove your citizenship, then we don't know if they're illegal votes or not, because you're basically having local law and state law at that time trumping the federal law that says it has to be the United States citizen to vote.
But as Ari has written in The Nation many times, there have been so few instances of illegal voting in America.
And there's absolutely no evidence that same-day registration leads to any sort of voter fraud. So, I mean, really, this is just taking something that we know...
You wouldn't be able to find that evidence, because according to the law, it's legal.
I want to thank, first of all, Lenny McAllister for being with us. And again, I will not gerrymander you into a 3-1 next time you're here, but it was good to have you in the have you with us. I want to thank E.R. Shipp for being in the studio here with us as well, and our other guest, Ari Berman, and Brenton Mock, and we'll be linking to all of your work on our web. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless you all, Mark. Thank you, Mark. God bless you all.
Take care.
Bye.
We are going to reflect a bit on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in about 30 seconds. Don't go away.